Amen. We are anticipating a fresh move of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. All right? Amen, amen. Okay, here they are. We're continuing our study in the book of Acts. And it's a power book, isn't it? Yes? Yes, we've seen so much in the scripture about the demonstration of the power of God and what he wants to do in the church. And when the Lord told us to study the book of Acts, it was to look and see what was the church of Acts doing, what was going on, and how can we pattern ourselves after that. And so let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the study in your word. Lord, your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, I pray that you awaken the spirit of revelation and wisdom and understanding in each person, Lord God, that hears this message today. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're our teacher. And we thank you, your word is anointed. And we thank you, Lord, for what you want to do today in our hearts and our minds. And we yield to you. Let's say, not my will, but thine be done. In Jesus' name. All right, we're going to get started in the book of Acts, and we're still on chapter 10. I talked with Brother Dave this week, and he said, so, did you get through chapter 10? I said, no, I didn't. So you get to start chapter 11 next week. And so he was planning on me getting through 10 and 11, but sometimes I told him, I said, the congregation looked like they were in a trance thinking about the food they were going to eat and the Super Bowl game. So we just released everyone to go. He thought that was pretty funny. But anyway, he will be here. And actually, he'll be here the next 3 weeks because I'm taking some time off, taking a time of sabbatical, taking a time of solitude with the Lord for the next 3 weeks. And so Brother Dave will be here, and he will be covering the teaching. He is our teaching pastor. He's on staff. He's with us 2 Sundays a month. And we so appreciate him. He's also going to be the man that leads up the Caleb company. And so next week, Dave will be looking for your surveys so that he can go over them to see what you would like to do. And he's headed up a lot of men's groups. He heads up a big one up in Michigan from different denominations. And so just get that in for him so God can begin to do that work. Caleb Company has just, it's been in survival mode. Can the men say amen? Just kind of survival mode. It's here, but it's not here. And so God wants to birth something new in this season because we're in a season of doors and a season of transitions. And so we're transitioning into something different. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And we see how God used Peter in this chapter and how God used Peter in the book of Acts. And so let's just get started here. We're at Acts 10, verse 17. And most of this we went over last week. If you've read the book of Acts, if you've read chapter 10, just sit and let the Holy Spirit minister to your heart what he wants to teach you here. 17. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision he had seen meant. And remember, we were talking about Peter. He had the vision. The sheet came down 3 times. Took 3 times to get it across to Peter, what God was trying to do. It was full of unclean food. And he refused to rise up and kill it and eat it. And so here we are. So Peter's wondering, what in the world did this vision mean? And behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and they asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. Because remember, at the same time, at the beginning of that chapter, Cornelius had a vision too. And the Lord told him to go and get Peter. And so he sent 3 men to go get Peter. And so while Peter thought about the vision that he had, the Spirit said to him, behold, 3 men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And that phrase, doubting nothing, when you are a person of doubt, you begin to separate everything thoroughly, and you can begin to withdraw from something because you're doubting it, and in your mind you're opposing it, even though God is giving you an instruction, even though you just read it in the Word, even though your friend just said something to you that really struck your heart. You can begin to doubt that and begin to separate it. And that word actually means to hesitate, to contend with, to judge it, to be partial towards. It can cause you to waver. You know, it can cause you to waver in your opinion, and you start saying, did God say that? Didn't God say that? I think he said it. No, he must not have said it. And do you hear what I'm saying? Has anybody ever experienced that? Yeah, you're all sitting there like, well, I don't know what she's talking about. It goes on in everybody's head. Somebody say amen. It goes on in everybody's head. And we know it especially went on in Peter's. Think about Peter's life. And so anyway, I just thought it was interesting that the Lord specifically said, doubting nothing. Nothing, Peter. Don't start reasoning this away and trying to figure this out and separate it, divide it, dissect it, look at it from 100 different ways. Doubt nothing because I've sent them. So let's read on. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Then Peter invited them in and lodged them. And on the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And so once again, remember that the Jews believed that all other nations were outside of the mercy of God. And the really strict Jews wouldn't even have anything to do with a Jew that didn't keep the law. And so Gentiles, remember, they were the dogs. They were totally rejected by the Jews. And so this was pretty amazing that he invited them in. And so we see God continues to break down that barrier in Peter's life, because Peter had that thought. Remember, that's the way he thought when the sheet came down to him and he saw the unclean food. And so last week we talked about how Peter had a cognitive shift. Sometimes you need a cognitive shift to get you to move out of the situation that you're in. And God spoke specifically to him through that vision while he was in the trance. And it really wasn't about food at all, but in one way it was. But the message was, don't call someone common and unclean when I don't call them common and unclean. All right. So let's go on. As I thought about this, Cornelius, did you notice he sent three men? Did you notice that? We talked a little bit last week about how Peter needed to have a witness three times. Three times the sheet was lowered, and three times he denied Jesus before the rooster crowed. Remember that? And then I got to thinking this morning, it was like three times Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? He asked, do you agape me? That was the Greek word the Lord used. But Peter responded, Lord, I philios you. I have a brotherly love for you. And again, Jesus asked Peter, do you agape love me? And Peter said, Lord, I have a philios love for you, a brotherly love. And then the third time, this just thrilled me. God met Peter right where he was at, and he said, Peter, do you philios me? Do you love me with a brotherly love? He didn't ask him again to come into agreement with something that Peter really didn't have in his heart yet, because God knew that agape love was going to come forth and birth forth in Peter in such a miraculous way that he would be the man that would preach all three groups Peter preached to bring them into the kingdom. The Jews, remember? Then the Samaritans, and now he's getting ready to preach to the Gentiles. And he is the man that God gave the keys to the kingdom, because God chose him to bring forth his message of the kingdom into all the world. He broke open the door in each one of those situations so that the whole world could get the gospel of the kingdom. And so there's another three that God used Peter in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! I get excited about that. Thank you, Jesus. So let's read on. Verse 24. And the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and he had called together his relatives and close friends. Now think about this. Cornelius must have been a man of great, great faith. Okay, because he sent out his three servants to go get Peter. And they couldn't, like, call him when they got there. Right? They couldn't just send a text message. I know that's kind of hard to imagine, that you just didn't have instant communication to find out what's going on. You know, we can find out what's going on really quick. They didn't have that. They had to wait. And so, but Cornelius had so much faith that what the Lord had told him was going to happen, that he gathered his family and his friends to come wait with him for Jesus to show up at their house. Somebody say hallelujah. So as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up. I myself am also a man. And so, you know, Cornelius had great respect for him, and he was probably so relieved that the guy had gotten there. And Peter was like a well-known guy. You know, he was way up here. And so he fell down to worship him. And Peter wouldn't let him do it. He would not let him do it. It was like he was saying, I'm not going to receive any of that. You know, and that's a trap so many people get into, that they begin to receive and soak in all of the admiration and how wonderful you are. They soak it in the wrong way. Peter would not even allow it. Get up. I'm just a man. Hallelujah. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So Peter was sharing with them the revelation that God had shown him. You know, this was an open door for Peter and the Gentiles. It was probably, you know, we just read the story and don't think about how they must have wrestled, the Jews and the Gentiles. They had always been separated. You know, the Gentiles didn't like the Jews, and the Jews didn't like the Gentiles. And so this was like a cognitive shift for all of them. And this was a demonstration of what God wanted in his kingdom. And he was breaking down those barriers. And Peter started talking to them about that revelation. So anyway, they were in a transition moment. Sometimes you need the word of the Lord or a man of God to explain to you what is going on. In the middle of transition, somebody say amen. Thank you, Lord. It was a God thing. So, verse 29, therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. This is Peter talking. I ask then, for what reason have you sent for me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose name is Peter. He's lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. So once again, what a man of faith. We talked last week that he was a good man. You know, he gave to the poor, he prayed, and he loved God, but he did not know Jesus Christ. He was a really good man, had a really good heart, but he was not saved. And we might know people like that. Someone listening might be like that. They justify what they do because they say, well, I'm a really good person because I do this and I do this and I do this. Well, without Jesus Christ, without salvation, that means absolutely nothing. And this whole story shares with us how much God loves us, and he will go to the extreme for you to have that opportunity to receive him as your Lord and Savior. We've got to have Jesus. Tell your neighbor, you got to have Jesus. Yeah, say it again, you got to have Jesus. Hallelujah. And so they were so excited. All these people are gathered right here in this place, all of them prepared to hear what Peter had to say. Now, you have a preacher, Peter, who is absolutely prepared to preach the gospel, and you have an audience that is so eager to hear what he has to say. I mean, that is like a preacher's dream. Hallelujah. So only God can do that. He brought that all together because he's the one that prepares the hearts. Come on, he prepares the hearts of men. The Holy Spirit's working in hearts right now. You know, he's been seeding into our heart, into our spirit through this whole service. Through this whole service. He's just been seeding into us. You know, and then he waters that. And he keeps talking to us. And if we'll listen, if we'll take the time, tell your neighbor, you got to take time. Hallelujah. He'll keep talking to you if you'll take the time. Thank you, Lord. So that was the whole reason why they were there, to hear what the teacher had to say. And here we are in Acts 10:34-43. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Somebody say amen. There is neither red, yellow, black, or white. Didn't we sing that as kids? They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. The world will try to divide you. Every time you listen to the news or something comes on, they try to pit one race against another race and try to cause division. You know, if everyone had Jesus, we would all live happily ever after. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all of Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. There's the gospel right there. Jesus was sent by God, and he equipped him with the Holy Spirit that had power to exercise healing, to deliver people who were oppressed, who were bound up by the devil. But they crucified him. They crucified him. And people at that time, they understood the horror and the torment of a crucifixion. But Jesus rose again, because the power that was in Jesus conquered the worst that men could do to him. That's the power. That's the power. That's the resurrection power. That's the power of the Holy Spirit that God pours out upon each one of us. Thank you, Lord. You know, and Peter could stand there boldly because he was a witness of that resurrection. So he could testify. He could testify. He was a living testimony of what Jesus had done. And he said, whoever believes in Jesus will receive remission of sins. And you see, that's what Cornelius needed. Forgiveness of sins that only Jesus could give to him. So let's look at this. Verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, those were the guys that traveled with Peter, they were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Hallelujah. They heard them. They were speaking in the same tongues that the Jews had spoken, like on the day of Pentecost. They were probably amazed. These Gentiles, see, they didn't have Peter's vision. They weren't with him when he went into that trance, but they were firsthand witnesses that God is no respecter of persons, and he is pouring out his Spirit on all flesh. Somebody say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Then Peter answered, verse 47, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. So Peter stayed with that congregation. He stayed with the Gentiles. And he began to teach them the scripture. And so, you know, prior to this, we didn't see the Holy Spirit being just poured out in this way, especially on Gentiles. I mean, normally you think of a person receiving Jesus Christ, they get baptized, and then they receive the Holy Ghost, right? I mean, that's what you normally would think of. But, you know, our whole mind, we had a cognitive shift. Our oldest daughter wanted to get baptized when she was like 5 years old, maybe it was five, and she wanted to be baptized, and they kept saying, no, she couldn't be baptized, she was too young, but she really wanted to be baptized. And Leonard and I have always been at the altar. We did the altar work. Growing up, you used to pray at the altar for hours. And I mean, that was back in the day. People would stay after church, and we would pray until people prayed through. Hallelujah. You might be there 3 or 4 hours, but it really didn't matter, because you were going to touch the throne of God. Hallelujah. Because that was more important we need answers from the Lord. But anyway, our children were always with us, and they would sometimes fall asleep, or they would sit somewhere. They'd find something to do. But we went over to get her in the corner when we were done ministering to people, and she was sitting there just praying in the Holy Spirit. We said, okay, all right. How can you deny her baptism now? Come on. And you see, that's what Peter was saying. How can you deny the baptism? How can you tell them they can't be baptized? You just heard them speak in tongues. They need to go down in the water. Woo! Hallelujah! And notice he commanded them to do that. He commanded them to be baptized. But when I was thinking about this interruption, Peter was interrupted. He experienced interruptions with Jesus. We see it in Matthew 17 when Jesus took him and James and John and John, the brother of James, and led them up a mountain, and there was a transfiguration. Do you remember that? You remember that story? Well, there's one interruption by God with and from a cloud. The scripture says from a bright cloud it covered. And a voice came out and said, this is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. And so there was another interruption at the temple tax. Do you remember? Peter was confronted, and they asked, they said, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? Do you remember this? And Jesus said, you know, we don't want to offend them. You know, we render to Caesar what's Caesar. You know, and so he said, you know, go fish, catch a fish, and you're going to find money in the fish's mouth for both of us. So it was like the Holy Spirit interrupted right there. And now we see in this chapter that the Holy Spirit is interrupting Peter's message, his sermon, and the Holy Spirit just gets poured out. And so once again, we see these three interruptions in Peter's life that came directly from God. Hallelujah. Amen. And are you getting? Peter needs something to happen to him three times to get it, like, oh yeah, this is God, he's interrupting, and hey, I'm cool with this, okay? Take some people a little longer than others, hallelujah. But this event, this was a transition in early history in the church. And so the Jews came into the kingdom, the Samaritans came into the kingdom, the Gentiles came into the kingdom, and they were all filled with the same Spirit, unified in the body of Christ. And that's where the Lord wants us to live, unified in the body of Christ, regardless of where we come from. Hallelujah. We might be different, but nobody's any better than anybody else. Somebody say amen. The Jews thought they were way ahead of the Gentiles, you know, so much better than them. But you know what? The Lord just lets us know he is no respecter of persons. Hallelujah. So, one thing that has never changed is that we are saved through faith. We see God did it in many different ways as we're studying the book of Acts. His presence came. People began to believe on him in different ways, but it's always by faith. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, so recognizing everything is prepared for us beforehand. Sometimes it's hard for us to grasp exactly what that might mean. But God's prepared it beforehand. And I do have a PowerPoint that I just wanted to share, the word of the Lord that the Lord gave me, because I think it's really strategic for 2024 that we grab a hold and grasp what God is saying to the body of Christ. We see all these transitions, changes, doors in the book of Acts. Well, you know what, church? God has those for us. God has those for us. We have to be willing to rise up and walk through the change. So the word of the Lord God gave me, I was in prayer. Actually, CI does a booklet with the word of the Lord. And so I was supposed to get my word in. And so I had been praying. And just so happened on this day, it was December 19th, the Lord just began to give me a download. And this is what he said. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, it's a season of great challenges. And there are many transitions and open doors for you beginning in 2024. Now, there's a whole lot in that. If you just sit and meditate on challenges and transitions and open doors, you know, our mind just wants to kind of go over that. Because each one of those are pretty big. Somebody say amen. Say, she's talking to me. Yep, she's talking to me. This is what the Lord said. There is an acceleration of the Holy Spirit in the church, as well as an acceleration of evil in the world. How many have seen it? We see the evil accelerating in the world. Well, you know, God is going to always keep us ahead of that. He prepares us for what's to come. We don't have to fear. We have no fear because the Lord goes before us. If we're serving God, God is going to go before us. If we're not serving God, then repent and get on the right track. This isn't a time to play. Evil is accelerating and wants to consume anyone that it can. But you know what? Our God is unstoppable. He's unbeatable. He's all powerful. He's almighty. And he's greater than all of that. So don't allow fear to come in your heart when you see the things coming upon the earth. The scripture says men's hearts will begin to fail for fear because of the things that they see coming. But you know what? If God is in us and we are in God, and that's our next life group class, nothing. Say nothing. It's like God said to Peter, doubting nothing, we're going to do this. Just do it, right? Hallelujah. Just do it. Anyway, stay steady and confident in the Lord who goes before you and prepares the way. He said, I am the door. So look for him in every challenging situation you face and walk through the door. He's the door. He's the door. We're always looking around for the door. Jesus is the door. He's the Lord of the breakthrough. We got to get our focus on Jesus. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. It's all wrapped up in him. Hallelujah. Look for Jesus and walk through the door. We don't have to fear if Jesus, what's the scripture say? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. What's that go on and say? He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil and my cup overflows. Come on, in the presence of your enemies is where you are anointed. Woo! Hallelujah. And your cup begins to overflow. Why? Because surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Woo! All right. When I was younger, I used to get all excited about the open door. You know, we get prophetic words, there's an open door. And I would just think, oh, it's going to be easier. It's going to be more peaceful on the other side. But my experience has been that as we've transitioned through the door into another realm of the spirit, we faced a whole new set of challenges. Somebody say amen. And I learned from experience that the challenges can throw you off balance. You see, that's why they come. Have you ever been in that place where you felt the enemy was just trying to throw you off balance and keep you unstable? I mean, that's all a scheme from the powers of darkness, because you're breaking through into another level. And when you get there, you've got to be stabilized. So I began seeking the Lord for instructions for the season of doors and transitions, to know how to stay focused every day. Tell your neighbor it's every day. It's not when you pick and choose. It's to sustain, you have got to stay focused. And this is what the Lord showed me, and I hope they are helpful for the rest of the body of Christ. And I'm not going to have time to teach through each one of these, but what I plan to do during my time with the Lord is to write this out, because I really believe this is so important for us, especially River of Life family. That's the flock that the Lord has given Leonard and I charge over. And they're so important, and it's really important for the body of Christ, because this is what the Lord says about how to stay focused. And so I begin to pray my prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask that you help me and every member of my family to accomplish your work today. Through your wisdom, strength, and grace, help us to accomplish everything you have assigned to us. And I ask that each member of my family glorify you today. We need you to help us and equip us and prepare each one of us to lead others in your way. And you know what? You can insert anything in there. Like, instead of, if you don't have a family, I want every one of my co-workers to accomplish your will today. Begin to pray for other people. I'm going to pray for everybody in my neighborhood. You know, everybody within a 3-mile radius of me. And begin to pray and intercede for other people. There are people out there that don't have anybody praying for them. All right. So you begin to pray for your family, pray for your children, pray for your brothers, your sisters, your siblings, wherever they are. Just pray. Send out a prayer. You don't have to spend hours, but pray, and especially for yourself. Because the first thing he said to me in Things to Remember was, I am only promised today. You can go to the next slide. All right, it says 5. Are we missing a slide? Okay. So number one is, I'm only promised today. And let's see what's after that, Angela. Because I do want to share a few scriptures about only promised today. I receive the Lord's strength, wisdom, mercy, and grace to accomplish every task and divine assignment he has ordered in my life today. That's my declaration every day. That's what I'm declaring every day. And I put the date. But things to remember. All right, the first one is, I'm only promised today. And the scripture says in Proverbs 27:1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. So this verse reminds us not to be overconfident in what we plan to do, because no one knows when their time will come. So we shouldn't boast in our future but trust God who holds our future. The next verse he gave me was James 4:13-17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Okay, so as you learn things in the scripture, you are responsible to apply them in your life. You know, and I've really been working at saying, the Lord willing, or as the Lord wills. It was something that was very common. We were taught to say that as we were growing up. And we were constantly intentional about that. And we're not trying to be super spiritual or super religious or anything like that. But you know what? When you make a promise to someone or an obligation, you obligate yourself. It has to be the Lord willing. Because that day may never come. Is that true? You know, we can live with, we should have self-confidence, but we can be overconfident and overbearing without asking God to help us. And you don't have to say it out loud to somebody. I mean, every time you're talking to someone making a business deal, you're going to shake their hand and say, well, the Lord willing. That would be a little weird. Just a little weird. But you know, in your heart, you know, and when you walk away from that person, you can say, Lord, you know, according to your will, let all of this be accomplished for your glory, right? He gives us the ability to make wealth, to establish his covenant here in the earth for his glory. You know, he blesses us with so much, but we just got to recognize where that blessing comes from, because we would have nothing if it did not come from our Father's hand. The Lord willing. The Lord willing. Do it, God. And our life's just a vapor. That always really got me growing up when I would read that. It's like, oh, it's just a vapor. You don't want to think about your life being a vapor. Because everybody wants to live forever. And guess what? We're going to, but not here. Hallelujah. We are going to live forever. Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Somebody say amen. Amen. And there's many more scriptures, but I'm not going to read on with them. But I always, when I think about taking care of today, this verse reminds me to live in the present. Because tomorrow's going to take care of itself. So I don't need to worry about it now. Somebody say amen. We have enough to handle today. And I'll remind myself, you got enough to take care of today without worrying about all this other stuff. So we should have a mental awareness about our life as we go through the day. I've gotten to the end of a day and I realize I never even looked up in the sky. Just to drink in, if it's blue skies, you got to look up and drink it in Indiana, because that can disappear real quick. And that blue, you know, God created colors to nourish your soul. Did you know that? He created colors and they nourish our soul, and we can get so busy in life that we don't even notice the beautiful tapestry and the beautiful colors that are around us. It's just taking that moment to be present where you are at. Often people, when they're depressed, when they come in, I'll ask them, have you just sat and looked in the sky? Just thank God for that beautiful sky. Just drank in that color. Well, no, because they're always thinking doom and gloom and looking down. You know, God wants us to look up, right? Look up into the heavens, because the heavens are declaring His glory. Hallelujah. So having a mental awareness, and remember, God has given us the mental and emotional energy to take care of whatever happens today. You have enough mental and emotional energy to take care of what happens today. And it's learning to lean on and trust in God to take care of your tomorrow. You do everything you can to do for today, what the Lord has asked you to do, and He will not forget you. He sees the sparrows. He knows when a sparrow falls. You know, we're talking about sacrifices. Elder Ron was talking about sacrifices and bringing them into the house of the Lord, and how they used to bring in the sacrifices. And it's they had to be exact with their sacrifices. If you've not studied the book of Leviticus, then please study it, because we can get kind of haphazard and casual about how we serve God. There was nothing casual about God in the Old Testament. Have you read about the sacrifices and how exact things needed to be and done in a specific way? And thank God we don't have that, all those ceremonial laws anymore. But that doesn't mean that we become casual with Jesus and just give Him high fives. Do you hear what I'm saying? We were singing about His holiness this morning, and His presence just flooded this place. Our God is holy. And when you reference Him and you keep Him high and lifted up, He watches over everything. But when we call Him down here and we're casual, you lower, and there's a familiarity that sets in that keeps things from happening. I want the Lord to be high and lifted up in my life. I want Him to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want Him to be glorious. Him be glorified, not me. Not my will, Lord, thine be done. Be glorified in our lives. Be high and lifted up over our situations. Yes, He's going to intervene. He sees it all. But our mindsets, I'm talking about our mindsets, can get so casual. Like, I don't know. It always just bugs me when people treat the things of God casual. He is our friend. But He's not my friend that goes grocery shopping and picks things off the shelf for me or carries my water. Come on. Am I making sense? Jesus, help us. Thank you, Lord.